Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Any plans for the rest of the day?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, for checking out the episode. If you're not already, what are you waiting for? Hit that subscribe button. I give you new interviews just like this one every single week. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists, discover some new ones. Of course, you can find us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions. Anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe. Kyle Meredith With. And please do give this series a rating and leave a review while you're hanging out. We've had some great guests drop by lately. Erica Christensen and Penelope Ann Miller were just here to talk about the movie After All. Florence Welch, the lead singer of Florence and the Machine, dropped by to talk about Everybody Scream. Famke Janssen was here. Of course, you know her from James Bond and the X-Men. She's got a new series on Netflix called Amsterdam Empire. We also hung out with the Kaiser Chiefs and Teenage Fan Club, Moby, MJ Rodriguez, and Ron Funches to talk about season 3 of Loot on Apple TV+. That's an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with Audrey Nuna. Audrey, you've been hearing her music over the past few years. She just released her sophomore record, Trench, last year. And then she was out and about on a U.S. and then international tour when a little project that she had recorded some songs for started to blow up worldwide and became the biggest thing of this entire year. Of course, I'm talking about K-pop Demon Hunters, with Audrey doing the music voicing of Mira from the Netflix film. So we're going to dig into how the film changed her career, seriously, overnight. We'll hear about the surprise of watching a Korean-American project go worldwide, and why recording for her character in Huntrix has helped her reconnect with the raw human side of music. Audrey also teases her next album, one focused on imperfection, restraint, real emotion. And she'll open up and have fun with me about simulation theory, creative evolution, and whether or not she's independent still, as she had planned on. I think's not. So let's jump into it. We'll talk Trench, but we're also talking K-pop Demon Hunters. It's Kyle Meredith with Audrey Nuna.
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm kind of hungry, but I'm good.
I like the actual detail of that. I really do appreciate that. That was more than the usual just, I'm good.
Oh, yeah. How are you?
I'm well. I'm recently fed, so I'm not in the same boat as you.
Dang. Making me jealous.
Just had leftover chili. It was very
cool. Usually the leftovers is better than the regular because it's kind of like marinates more.
Yeah. I agree. I don't know. I apologize about your hunger right now. I hope this day's and all the promo is not going to destroy your chance to eat.
You know, I really appreciate that sympathy.
That's what I'm here for. Minutes of sympathy. Congratulations on an incredible year and being able to watch you do all this stuff. Like, so right, you release Trench and you're out promoting it. And by the way, fantastic record.
Thank you.
You go out promoting it, you do your first, headlining American tour, you do an international tour, and then a little movie takes over with K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yeah.
That's a crazy story, right?
Oh, yeah. This has been the craziest year of my life. I'm just like, who wrote this script? This is insane. This is insane. Yeah, I mean, I remember the song had gone number one on Global 200 the last day of my Trench international tour. And that just felt like very, whoa, like just the fact that it was on the same day and everything has felt like really surprising, but at the same time, very weirdly like predestined. And I'm just really enjoying the ride.
So what does that mean for Trench? I mean, is your mind still there? Are you still technically promoting that? Or does this give you means to move on?
I think I'll be promoting Trench forever, honestly. Like any album that I make, I would love to continue sharing it and promoting it and getting people to hear it. You know, and I'm doing some like a festival performance at the end of the year that's kind of still centered on Trench. I will say that this experience has definitely given like my life a very new color palette in the last, you know, months. And I will say I'm very just re-energized with a lot of just ideas for new music, working on the next album, really inspired, feeling creative. So I definitely think, you know, I'm evolving and changing every single day, but you know, all the projects I've done will always, I think, be a part of the ecosystem.
Because I don't, you know, like I should back up. So with K-pop Demon Hunters, like how did you get the gig? What part of the timeline does this come in?
I got the gig probably around May or June of like a year before the project came out. And honestly, it was serendipitous. You know, I did an audition. I kind of was just asked to do it. And apparently, looking back now, I realized that there was people who recommended me for this project, EJ included, who I've known since, you know, I was acquainted with when I was 15 years old. And she kind of had followed my career, I think, over the internet. And then this guy, Danny Chung, who also voices Baby Saja, who has known me since I was 20 and was a friend of a friend of a friend of my first manager. So just these really weird kind of seemingly peripheral connections that I guess were just like rumbling under the surface. And then they just asked me to do the movie. And I was like, sure, sounds fun. I'm down.
But there's like no guarantee that anything's going to happen from that, right? Like was there an inkling of the scope that this could get to from the beginnings? I know there's always hope, sure.
No, honestly, for me, it was just really genuinely on some like, I like animation. I love what this movie stands for. I love that it's a Korean cast. I love that it's a Korean director. I'm super down to be a part of it. And that was really it, you know, it was like the most earnest thing. And that's why this story is so funny.
That it's happened, like, right. Because you can't, like, I guess that's it. You hear people say that you can't predict these things, you know. Yeah.
No,
like we all create and you hope it takes off, but you don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was going to do well. I really thought I was like, wow, so many like cool, creative people are going to love this movie. But to think like, oh, no, like families in India and, you know, grandmas and Czechoslovakia are going to know this film is like, oh, OK, that's different than I expected.
Because when it's always easier in hindsight to look back on, because K-pop breaks out of just that, you know, section of the world, like, you know, certain parts of America starts embracing it. You can go, I mean, geez, I'm in the middle of Kentucky, Jack Harlow's town. I'm in Louisville.
I was going to say hometown of Jack Harlow. Let's go. We have a song together.
I know Jack. I met Jack. I can't say I know him, but I was one of his first interviews. I'll say that.
So,
but like even here in the middle of Kentucky, if a K-pop band comes to town, you know, it's a line around the block or something like that. So you start seeing that, but just that, you know, that world, Korean arts starts making it past the niche groups and mm-hmm. suddenly it's mainstream.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what you can say about, I don't know what there is to say about that, but watching it over the last few years do that has been really interesting to see.
Yeah, I think you're right that in hindsight, it's like so easy to kind of be like, oh, that makes sense. Because I went to a Big Bang concert when I was like 12 and I fainted because that was sold out at Prudential Center, you know, on like a Sunday night. And now thinking about it, that was 10, like 10 plus years ago. So it kind of makes sense, you know, that we've reached this boiling point. I just didn't know that I would be a part of, because, you know, I'm Korean American, and as much as K-pop has been so formative to me and who I am, at the same time, I'm also like an alternative R&B, alternative hip hop, alt pop artist. And I was just like, I'm so down to be a part of this. So I think the catch is that, like, just the way that it's happened, you know, because this project is such a hybrid, I think, of culture. It is obviously K-pop, but it's also at its core very Korean American, Korean Canadian. I think the hybrid is really the true evolution of it that kind of pushed it over the edge from
Because
my
when
perspective.
everybody can see themselves in it, that's when you win.
Exactly.
And we'll be right back right after this.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Audrey Nuna. What does it mean for these songs to now be a part of your world? Like these aren't songs that you created in your bedroom. You know, these are songs for this whole project. Like, does that give you a different relationship with them than some of your own?
I think it is a slightly different relationship just because I, for my project, I'm really involved on all levels. You know, I write all my songs. I are involved in production choices and videos and creative direction and mix choices. And like, I think it's really interesting and beautiful new type of relationship to have with songs where you truly are the recording artist. You know, your only job was to deliver the character. And I'm having fun. I'm embracing it because I think that there's something really nostalgic about that too. Like kind of just, you know, delivering the lines and being the best at delivering the lines. It's kind of really reinvigorated my relationship with recording as well.
How
And has
so?
just this idea that, you know, I think sometimes when you're involved in so many different things and your hands are in so many different parts of the process, you kind of can lose sight of the fact that like recording is an art in itself. And I think also in the age of just like hyper nonchalance and like also a lot of auto tune and a lot of like aesthetic based music, you forget that at the end of the day, like your job is to bring humanness to songs. And I think that's like a really powerful, humbling thought. It's just like, yeah, on this one, your job is to just like bring a character to life. It was like almost taking the ego out of everything for me, and that was like much needed, honestly, for me at where I was in my life. That's exactly what I needed.
It's interesting. I guess I've noticed that about you talking about the humanness. That's what I'm getting at. You know, in as you're saying this time when it can be very easy for things made by real people to not sound like they're made by real people. Even on the upper thing, when Taylor released her new record with the Showgirl, like I noticed that so much of that music felt like real music again. You know, that's not. It's all real music. That was a horrible thing.
I think,
But
though.
it felt very human in the way that even she hadn't before. The new Florence and the Machine record is coming out, and there's so much like the tempos are slightly off every now and then, you know, it's not perfect.
That's
And I
cool.
find that that starts to feel right again. Not that I can't enjoy everything else too, that's not what I'm saying, but there is something extra about that, I guess. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, we're so numb, you know. I think we're like just thinking about where we are in human evolution. I mean, like the age of AI, you know, I think we're all questioning like what is real and what is humanity. And I think that whether we know it consciously or not, we're all like real, it's beyond itching. It's not itching. It's like we're all thirsting, craving, dying for some sense of like, I'm a human, you're a human. Okay, we're humans. Okay, great, we're humans. Like, I think we're all craving that, whether we realize it or not. And there's something so earnest about even Golden, you know, it's a song about reaching for something. It's a song about trying. And like, we're so, as people, we're like so over trying and shit. And like, I just feel like it just taps into something very human.
But as an artist though, when you're creating on your own, when you're doing an album, like because of the tools that we're talking about that are available to us now, it's so easy to want to fix imperfections. And then those imperfections are instantly gone. Mm-hmm. and everything has become very perfect. Everything is on the beat, you know, every note is perfect when they come out of her voice, you know, or something like that. Like, for, I don't know, for you and what you got going for, but like, how do you find the balance? How do you restrain from making everything just a little bit too perfect?
Yeah, I think this is something that really is honestly very central to this next project that I'm currently working on. Is it is asking that question of like, what makes something human? And with that being said, for me, it's been really interesting. I love this word restraint, because for me, it's been really interesting to strip back tools. And also I'm really inspired by like Dieter Rams, who's like a really cool industrial designer from the 70s. And he has these like design philosophies. And I think this idea of less is more, in a sense, I think I've really gravitated towards that. Less tools, like less, something that I've been kind of thinking about is I want to hear my actual voice more. You know, this last, as much as I love my sophomore project and it really, really depicts what I was going through at the time, I think there was this feeling of kind of, this feeling of have like this glaze over everything that made it feel a bit robotic. And it was a part of the concept, you know, but I think now I'm on a very opposite tip, which is like, I almost want to just like crack on the songs, you know, I want to like you said, be off tempo for a second, do a song without a click, you know, with a, just things like this that feel very right, but wrong.
I mean, when you listen to classic songs, of course, they didn't have a choice. You know, you've got so much studio time and we're running real tape here and it costs a lot of money. But like some of the greatest moments, like when you said crack, I immediately thought of the Rolling Stones song, Give Me Shelter, because Mary Clayton's in the background as a background singer and she goes for that really high thing. Her voice just shreds, and any other time nowadays, you'd probably fix that. And thank goodness they didn't, you know.
Yeah, but you know, I think that's what it is. And again, not to relate everything back to this film, but that's what the film is about. You know, it's about showing your imperfections. And I think we all really want to see each other's ugly sides, whether we realize it or not.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Audrey Nuna. And I do want to properly, I know I've already said, like, Trench is a great record too, because even thinking about some of these songs, like Dance, 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 and Pajamas. And I love what you did with Mine, because I was a teen of the 90s and interpolating Brandy and Monica there, which aren't they on tour? Like what timing for that, by the way? That's the two of them playing together again.
Oh yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
We're definitely living in a simulation.
Everything's just lining up in a weird way. That's right. Do you believe in simulation? It's fun to joke about.
I do, honestly. I just think it's all so weird. I don't know. I think life is a mystery. I think it's really weird what we're doing here. Sometimes I look at my hands and I'm like, what is this? But yeah, I believe in simulation in some way, you know. I believe in a lot of different things.
Sure. It's an interesting thing to roll around. And there are a few. Yeah. Yeah. To get out there. But a hard left turn on simulation theory.
It's always time to talk about simulation theory, I will say that.
Well, it still fits into what you're talking about too, with just, you know, as you say, in the concept of where your head's at with this next album and how you approach the songwriting and that. And even thinking about your history, like what I've read about, like there's the one part where you went to the Clive Davis Institute at NYU. Because in my head, I'm like, what do they teach you? Are they teach you how to write a song? Like, how do you learn to write a song? Like, what do you get? And how often does learning get then in the way of creation?
It's a cool question. I actually only went to Clive for 1 year, but I can definitely speak on the year that I was there because genuinely I left school because I was like, this is just so expensive. I can't afford this anymore. But I do think it's a great program. I think what they're great at is really giving you tools, but also at the same time, kind of I think they're really great at like melting off layers. You know, I think a lot of art schools and music schools sometimes they try to, like you said, teach you something. And I don't think that's the point of art school. I think the point of any sort of like creative education is to like unlearn and melt layers off versus like become this thing you're supposed to become. So I like loved that program for that reason. I feel like they did a great job of just kind of like, well, what if you took this layer off and this layer off, you know? And I personally really loved my time there. I think they're doing such a great job.
Tools for the tool belt. What if you use it right?
Exactly.
Yeah, what you get
Yeah.
to do. Yeah.
And just high quality tools, you know? You don't need that many. You just need like a few good ones.
A very expensive 1 year built tool.
Yes, exactly. Very expensive. I will say that's a whole nother thing. School in this country is way too expensive. It's such a scam.
My son is about to go to college.
God bless
Maybe.
your soul. God
Maybe that, because that's the
bless
thing.
your soul.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, what do you? I'm not a product of college. I got very lucky. I was obsessed with radio, and I've been in radio now for, a very long time. And but so it's easy for me to say, not everybody needs college,
Yeah, no, not everyone needs college. I never, ever, like when I see these kids, I almost want to just be like, you know, you don't have to stay in school. You know, like
But you can't tell them that, right?
it's your journey, it's your journey. I mean, I guess, you know, they deserve the truth.
Yeah. Listen, I've told him I support him in every decision. If he wants to go, we'll figure it out. And if he doesn't, then we'll figure that out, So it's the
And
journey.
shout out to the parents putting their kids through school, man. You guys are incredible. So much.
It's a thing. So somewhat similarly, though, I mean, you're an independent artist right now, right? Okay, I get it.
I
Maybe that's a dangerous question at this
would say a
point.
lot of things are changing in my life. But yeah, a lot of things are changing.
I'm not
So
surprised in
it's very
that now
most
that,
transitory state of my life.
yeah, listen, I'm not surprised. Given the success of all this, why wouldn't that be a complicated answer for you to do, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's crazy because I really was planning on being, you know, independent for a very long time. And I think now that this so much has changed around me, it's really at forced me to kind of ask myself the question of like, okay, if the world is your oyster, like what is your ideal situation? And that's been such a blessing to even be able to ask that question to myself.
To even be able to come into any conversation with some version of control
Yeah.
that not our every artist has. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. That made me feel really, you saying that made me feel really emotional because I just feel really, really grateful, honestly. I totally understand that, like, this is really on some miraculous lightning strike, you know. Granted, I've been working really hard since I was really young, but I do think that just the way everything's coming together, I'm just really feeling so blessed.
And to piggyback off of what you were saying about Trench in the early days, about the duality, the concept of duality, and now here you have this thing happening in your solo life, and Huntrix is a real thing. I mean, it's not just a movie, like it's a real thing, right? Like you guys play live.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I never thought I would be in a girl group ever. I'm like the least girl groupy person I've ever met. And somehow I find myself in this like all-time charting girl group. I'm like, okay, cool. Simulate back to simulation theory.
If
But
only you
yeah.
had one of the god codes from the old
Yeah, right.
days, it's
Right. Right.
immortality, go. Well, seriously, all the congrats. I know you're getting it from everywhere right now, and it looks like it's so deserved. And the music that you have made is so much fun to listen to. So I'm really interested to hear where this next one comes along, because I like all the things that you're saying right now.
Thank you so much. I really hope we can have another conversation when this next album comes out. This was really lovely.
Please reach out. I can't wait to talk about it.
Yes. Thank you.
My thanks to Audrey. The album Trench is out. Of course, K-Pop Demon Hunters is everywhere. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. And after that, you're going to head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new alternative and indie. There's music news, lots of bonus interviews as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Mumford & Sons and Hozier, Wilco, Bjork, Zap Mama, The Mamas and the Papas, Slade, Jalen Naganda, The Serotones, Frightened Rabbit, and my interviews with Yvonne Orji, Madison Pettis, and Hannah Stocking, as we talked about the film The Wrong Paris. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. My address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like, follow along. That does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Oh, wow. Okay, you like scary shit.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.